Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, it's a 98.5 KTK Morning Show recap for Monday, October 7th. Here's what you may have missed on the show this morning. We found out telling lies to your kids means that your kids will turn out to be liars.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Or politicians.
Where do you draw the line? I mean, you have to, what's the difference between telling a lie, let's call it, I'm using air quotes here, or negotiating?
Or is it a little teeny, you know, like a little baby lie?
The white lie?
Yeah, or a big,
A whopper?
Yeah. You know, like going to prison for the rest of my life type of lie. It really just comes down to, at least according to this one here, researchers found young adults who reported being lied to more as children were more likely to report lying to their parents in their adulthood. They also found facing greater difficulty in meeting psychological and social challenges, and that they had behavioral issues such as disruptiveness, conduct problems, experience in guilt and shame, as well as selfish and manipulative character traits as well.
Well, and you brought up the point, like, what kind of lie? But I think at the end of the day, it's like the reoccurring stuff where you're covering up what should probably just be told to them. You know, like if they're at, not necessarily like fun stuff like Christmas and Valentine's Day.
Easter Bunny, but
when they want to know what happens, like just with some stuff, you know, maybe go ahead and just tell them the truth.
Yeah, like maybe that's not your real father. You know, some big stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, in time, but, you know, maybe not wait until they're 20-something and then drop a bunch of bombs on them. They're going to probably resent you.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
I don't really have your nose.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't take your nose away when I did that trick.
Hey, if you're going to an ATM to pull money out from a machine that is not from your bank.
Yeah, you got more money than I do.
Apparently, they say that we're reaching new highs for the fees that are charged.
Yeah, would you pay almost a $5 bill to get out a $20 bill out of an ATM?
Well, you know, there's a restaurant. I think they've mostly gone out of business, but there are still some restaurants that will not accept a debit card. And they'll have like
an ATM that they're getting fees off
right.
of. Yeah,
right. And it's just like, you guys are nuts.
It's usually more the smaller restaurants,
yes.
but so many
diners. There's a diner right down from my house.
Is that right?
And I forget every time I go there. And as soon as I've ordered, I'm like, son of a.
Yeah, exactly.
It's almost a fine, like they're fining you or something for not having cash. You know?
So now you got to go to that foreign ATM, which now they say is a withdrawal. Your own cash will roughly cost you $4.72.
And that's gone up like 33% in the past 10 years, guys.
Yeah. It's going to continue to go up here. And you brought up a good point, too, Janie. Some banks actually waive those fees, because I didn't know this. There's the fee for you using a foreign machine.
Sure.
Then there's a fee your bank charges for you using a foreign machine.
So there's really a double fee when you get your statement.
Yeah.
I just spent $7. I think I spent $7 getting some money out the other day. I went, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I looked, and you're right. Like, some of the bigger branches don't. Some credit unions will sometimes reimburse you for the third-party ATM fees. But I could see them stopping this if the prices continue to go up, the fees continue. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it really is. And especially as more and more, and maybe this is why they're doing it, because more and more people are carrying no cash and you're just using a card. Right. But, you know, every once in a while you do need some cash.
You go to a flea market or a farmer's market or something like that, these people, it deals in cash. And Janie's little diner.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's delicious, but you just got to have cash ahead of time.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't know this hack, this is what Chris and I do. And Janie, I think you just learned this, that the ATMs at Publix don't charge you anything. They want that money.
Yeah.
They want you to have it. Yeah.
Scurvy's on the rise.
Yarr!
It's 2019, and we're talking about something that may have happened in 1619.
That's why we're asking you to walk the plank, Chris. You're coming down with a touch of scurvy. Now, scurvy is not enough vitamin E, or vitamin C.
Right.
Which is just from, I told a story, too. That's why a nickname for the British are limeys. Because their sailors would take limes along with them to battle scurvy when they were out on the ocean.
Well, this is actually, they're saying it's because of picky diets and being on what's called the beige diet is to seeing an increase in diseases based because you don't have enough vitamins in your system.
Right.
The British Healthcare Service reported between 2009 and 2014, hospital admissions due to scurvy had increased 27%.
That's amazing.
And they say that our beige dyes, and that's going to be anything if you think about it, chicken fingers, French fries, mac and cheese.
Fried.
But they all have that beige color, and there's not much variety. And this is what they're kind of talking about, is a lot of times kids being picky eaters grow up to be adult picky eaters, and it's leading to a lot of health problems where you need to supplement your vitamin intake. Now, fortunately, you know, vitamin C is pretty easy to obtain, either from, you know, from citrus fruits or broccoli or something along those lines. But, you know, you've got rickets, which is a deficiency of vitamin D, and that's another one of those things that could be a problem. So, and it was kind of interesting to point out that, because I too am a picky eater, and they say what this is worried about is a lot of picky eaters feel very much anxiety and embarrassment when trying to tell people about, you know, to try foods that are not on their safe list. You get anxiety because you really don't want to. And what they say is that, you know, it's kind of along the same lines as not every obese person is a lack of willpower. And this is kind of the same thing for picky eaters. Sometimes just things don't evolve. I equate it to, you know, like I said, being picky. When I was a kid, I hated mushrooms, I hated onions, I hated peppers. And as I've gotten older, my palate's kind of changed, and I actually enjoy them.
One cheesesteak will change all that, Chris.
And, you know, and to your point, Storm, it really comes down to how you prepare foods, because you can have, you know, you can have a steak that's prepared horribly,
or one
that tastes just absolutely mind-boggling.
Or the Brussels sprouts we grew up with that Mom boiled, and the whole house
would
smell.
Yes, I love Brussels sprouts now.
If you roast them, I roasted some last night. These are delicious.
Yeah, I know.
And so, nature is kind of telling us, this is how it works psychologically. You can tell when fruit's ripe. And you really, you know, the reds and the greens and the oranges and yellows, when fruits and vegetables are ripe and beautiful, man, it's, I mean,
it looks beautiful.
Yeah, it looks beautiful. And there's a reason your body's going, I want to eat some of that.
Yeah.
Because it's good for you.
So that's what it really talks about, is that, you know, perhaps maybe trying some, especially if you're a picky eater that's an adult, trying something new every once in a while the way you cook it.
What the heck?
The CDC and the American Academy of Pediatrics is reversing a three-year-old trend talking about the flu vaccination. They said for the last 3 years that basically you need to use the injection. And, you know, kids and a lot of adults don't like needles, so they've actually said it's okay to use the nasal spray for the flu vaccine this year.
Yeah, I remember earlier the Alachua County School System recommended the nasal spray, and there was a couple years ago when they said, no, that's not working as well, because it does change every year. The formulation of the nasal spray of flu vaccine changes every year. It morphs as the flu virus morphs. Mm-hmm.
It does. And what they're now saying is that this particular reformulation is actually doing pretty well. So that's given it, and it's done well overseas. So that's why they're bringing it, saying it's okay here in the U.S. They do talk about, you know, keeping in mind that it's a flu vaccine, and it's not going to be making sure you don't get the flu. The flu vaccine changes all the time. But what happens, like last year, why it was such a bad flu season, is the H1N1 is the one they've been trying to get the right formula right on. Okay.
Sure.
Well, now the H3N2 is what kicked everyone's butt last year. Well, now that's going to be put into this year's formula. So it's kind of like you're checking off a list of all the variations of the flu. And what this
your immune system remembers, oh, yeah, I've got the cure for the H1N1, and I've got the cure for the H3. You know, it remembers the different varieties.
And remembers that. So even if you do catch the flu, which I have caught the flu, even catching the flu shot, I'm not sick as long as other people that have been knocked out for weeks. It may only be days for me, and you don't feel it as severe. So the CDC recommends anywhere children to use the nasal spray anywhere between the ages of 2 and 49, except for some children with underlying medical conditions, which you really should talk to your doctor about. Spend the night with the haunted hotel with a ghost who hate men who smoke. Film at 11.
This ghost is my homegirl.
So we got the Reed House in Chattanooga, Tennessee. It's home to room 311, which apparently back in the 20s was the site of a really gruesome scene. Annalisa Netherly was brutally murdered in that room. And it has been said since that time that she haunts the room. She apparently haunts men, hates men, particularly those who smoke. They said over the years that they've had unexplained noises coming from the room, running water, flickering lights, and shadowy figures. Recently, the hotel went through a $28 million makeover, and they kind of went with the Annalisa and say, hey, if you're going to haunt this room, might as well make it cozy. So they've kind of made it in a restored it to its 1920 glory. No modern amenities, which means there's no TV. It has an AM radio, has distressed hardwood floors, antique furnishings, and everything like that. If you want to, you can stay there. $666 a night.
See, that's a little pricey.
Yeah. Well, it includes valet parking. There you go. A decanter of gin. Better be good gin. Breakfast and a $100 dining credit at the hotel's Chop House restaurant.
You know, I'm
so
looking
it's really
up.
More like $400.
It's a pretty high-end hotel, too. They say 21st century Gatsby style. So they've gone on the Gatsby.
Oh, my gosh, that sounds
amazing. Yeah, I think you would love it, man.
Just and go. Also, let me just say for the record, downtown Chattanooga is way better than downtown Nashville. So I would go stay there and then visit the downtown.
It looks like a play-in.
It looks beautiful. I'm looking online at the rooms and stuff. You can get rooms for less. They're like $189, but you want to stay in the really weird one.
Stay in the 666 room.
You can get a room and just do the tour between noon and 2. They do that daily.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, that sounds fun. That's kind of like what we did when we went to the Stanley in Colorado. It's a similar situation. We stayed. They have like other things on property, but not in the historic hotel, and it was much cheaper and actually really nice and spacious.
That's where The Shining was filmed at the Stanley.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Best line of that movie, here's Johnny.
Yeah.
Completely improvised.
That's beautiful, though.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Jack Nicholson just improvised that line.
You know, I saw a film of, like, he was preparing behind that door to come through it. He was just one of those method actors just going nuts behind the door before they started filming, you know?
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, and the thing is, it wasn't even filmed there. It was actually just where Stephen King stayed when he wrote the story.
Oh, yeah?
Cool.
Yeah. How about that? I didn't know that.
What a creepy place. So where are those twins?
Yeah. I know.
Girls.
We looked for him.
And then finally, we learned of the advent calendar for cats.
If you want 24 cats, get one of these.
No, it doesn't have the 24 cats, fortunately. But you know, the advent calendar has kind of gone through a metamorphosis. It used to be just like a scripture or maybe a piece of chocolate back when I was a kid.
Yeah, I remember the piece of chocolate. Yeah.
Yeah. Now it's kind of morphed into everything from Legos to socks to Harry Potter.
Wine.
Beer and wine. And so last year, Trader Joe's made an advent calendar for dog treats. And so this year, they kind of morphed it into
cat treats. That's a good idea.
So each day, your cat will have a nice little goodie made from salmon and seaweed, all leading up to the gigantic fish-shaped treat on Christmas Day.
Yeah, that's made from, what is it, mouse parts and a houseplant sauce.
You can have a special moment with your cat every day and count down Christmas together.
That's right.
It's true, as they try and topple the tree as they open it.
It'll help get the cat out of the tree. Yeah. That's what these are made for.
Maybe.
They won't like the actual advent calendar, though. They'll like the wrapper it came in.
Oh,
sort
of
like when you buy them the toy and then they just sit in the box. That'll be how it goes.
Probably, once you get all the treats out, you can just leave the calendar on the floor and they'll lay on it. $6, you can get this. It'll be out before the holidays, so you can pick it up. But probably will sell out quickly, much like the Aldi Advent wine calendar that sold out pretty quickly.
That was a great idea, actually.
Yeah, so there's our show for today, Monday, October 7th. Of course, we're live Monday through Friday between 5 and 10 on 98.5 KTK and on the radio.com app.
In the words of Dr. Dan Krause, remember, the sun is always shining.
Have a great day.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.